Boker Tov. Last week we began the general introduction to the Alei Shor, to Rav Volvi's work, and we spoke about the composition of a person as the composite between the guf and the neshama, which at first we looked at as a source of tension because there's competing interests here. There's the guf that's looking in one direction and the neshama that's looking in the other direction. But then we suggested that perhaps it's not completely in conflict, but there is also a complementary nature. We spoke about the idea of light fixtures. And so we can consider our guf as a light fixture, and it's supposed to house the light that's going to emanate from Hashem, from our soul, from our neshama. So let's go back to this same piece, and we only got through about a half a sentence, so we'll continue a little further, but also a little bit deeper. So again, we're on the front page, on the page that you have where the bracket is. Bal Chovas HaLevavos, Kosei V'Hakdama L'Sifro, the Chovas HaLevavos author, Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pekuda, writes in the introduction to his Sefer, Ha'adam Mechubar Minefesh V'Guf. A person is comprised of a nefesh and a guf, Ushneim Mitovos Habore Aleinu. And both of them are gifts from Hashem. Ha'echad Nira V'Hasheni Einu Nira. The one, meaning the guf, the physical, is visible, V'Hasheni, and the second one is Einu Nira. So let's think about this for just a few minutes so that we don't take it for granted, which is why. You know, we don't understand why the Rabbeinu Shalom did anything, so to speak, because that's far beyond our comprehension. But trying to understand what it means to us, why would it be that Hashem would do this tova, this gift, this chesed for us to create us as a guf and a neshama? Why is he giving us so much anxiety? Why does he put us in this place where we're trying to constantly navigate between the guf and the neshama? Why didn't he just drop a bunch of neshamas into the world and then it would be so much easier? But why did that happen? So in the next section, which we're not going to read aside, just foreshadowing, putting it together, Rav Volbi quotes from the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, who makes a very important point about why we exist in the first place, which relates to this issue about guf and neshama. But before we get to that, I think there's one more observation, which is it's impossible to put a spiritual light into a physical world. It has to have a vessel. So there had to be a physical reality. There had to be people. There had to be human beings and a guf, a body, because you can't have something which is spiritual, which is Einu Nira, in a physical world. So that's answer number one, right? That's a basic answer. You can't just have spiritual beings in a physical world. They're Einu Nira. But the answer that the Ramchal gives us, which explains why it's such a tova for us, gets back to a basic reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world in the first place. Which you don't really know, but ultimately, many point out that there is a chesed that Hashem wants to do for us. He wants to give us something. Some suggest that's Ratzon HaTov Lehitiv. It is the desire of something or someone which is good to give goodness to other people. So Hashem wanted to give us goodness. We are a spark, a chelak aloka. So he wanted to give us something. So he's going to give us a spiritual reward because we're not, at our core, we're not physical. At the end of the day, when a person ends their life on this earth, they don't end. Their neshama just goes back to a different place. So the neshama is really the core person. Well, how do you reward a neshama? Slurpees don't work. Slurpees are very good for many types of rewards, but not for spiritual means. Although maybe some children think that in the Olam HaEmes there's just like one giant endless Slurpee machine. So you reward a spiritual entity, a neshama, with a spiritual nourishment, with spiritual light. But the problem is that if God wanted to give everybody spiritual light, he would have had us all of our neshamas line up, and he would just give out handouts. Everybody would get a piece of spiritual light, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, which I don't really understand. But how did we feel? How would, God forbid, somebody feel, lo aleinu, if somebody had to go on a line and wait for a handout? How does that make a person feel? What's that?
Not good.
Not good at all, right? It's devastating from a self-esteem perspective. It's very bad. That's what the sages call, the tradition calls, nama de kisufa. Nama means bread in Aramaic, and kisufa is shame. Bread of shame. Rachmana litzlan, God forbid nobody should know that they should have to take a handout of food. Handout of food, rachmana litzlan. So how does a person feel when they receive that? Terrible. We should never know from such a thing. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, if he's going to give us out free light, free schar, free reward, we wouldn't be able to look him in the eye. We'd be ashamed of ourselves. Maybe, you know, maybe a little bit we would enjoy it, because everybody's enjoying a good meal, but nobody would feel good about that. We would feel like we were pathetic, that we had no sense of self. So Hashem Yisbarach said, I have a great idea. Instead of giving out free, so to speak, free reward, I'm going to give you an opportunity to earn it. And how does a person feel about something that they earn? A person feels very good about that. Gemara has an expression, Adam rotza b'kav shelo, and it's probably because of a source of accomplishment. A person wants even a small measure that they earned than something that someone else gave them or what another person has. We feel, everybody's nodding because we all know this intuitively. You know, we feel good about something that we earned. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo said, I'm going to do an experiment. Or as some people here would call it, an experiment. We're going to do an experiment. What's that? We're going to give you a world, and we're going to take, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to be mitzamtzim himself, whatever that means. He's going to hide himself. We're going to take God out of the world, and we're going to give you a chance to bring godliness into the world. And the more you amplify godliness, the more you bring your neshama forth, so that's the more light you're bringing to yourself, and that's what you're going to keep at the end of 120 when you go back. So then when we show up after 120, we're going to feel good about ourselves because we, so to speak, we earned it. We earned our keep. That light that we brought into the world, that's, so to speak, our light. Well, would that be possible without a goof? It wouldn't. If the idea is to bring light into a physical world, then you need a physical corporeal world to introduce light. You need God to hide himself. Otherwise, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is, whatever this means, endless light or Ein Sof, God is everything, so then it wouldn't be place for us to make something for ourselves. So he had to do us a chesed and take himself out, remove the spirituality from the world so that we can put it in. That's the great chesed that Hashem did for us. That's our mission in the world. But that means, by definition, it has to be a guf and a neshama. The guf is a chesed because that enables us to earn our keep. If we didn't have a guf, so then we wouldn't be growing, we wouldn't be challenged, and we wouldn't be accomplishing anything. So that's why the Chovas HaLevavos says, the guf is also a chesed. It's also a tova. It doesn't always feel like a chesed. It's kivyachol, not exactly, but kind of like exercise, which is a terrible machala, you know, exercising. It's one of the worst things that we have to do. Does anybody, I don't know, maybe there are some people who like exercising, you know what I'm saying? But exercising is good, right? It's a good thing. It's a tova. And if we don't do exercise, we're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. But I don't know too many people who wake up in the morning and say, oh, I cannot wait to exercise. You know? I don't relate to those people so much. But it's a good thing. Because when you finish exercising, you realize, oh, I burned 17 calories. You know, the donut that I had, I burned off the frosting. So you feel good about that, right? We do, and we should feel good about that. We feel good about that. Why do we feel good about it? Because we accomplished something. It's the sense of what the pasuk says, Yigia kapecha kisochel ashrecha v'tovlach. The work of your hands you will eat, you'll be happy about it. Yigia kapecha, the work of your hands, which in this case literally is exercise, ashrecha v'tovlach. It's good for you. People feel good about accomplishing something. So that's why, number one, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us, it's a tova that he gave us a guf, And that's what he wants us to accomplish. That's why there's a line, if you want to put this in your pocket, this is a great aphorism, so to speak. There was a great Hasidic master in the 19th century. His name was Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern. And he lived at a place called Kotsk. And he was known as the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker was was acerbic. He was very, very fiery. He was extremely sharp. Extremely, exceedingly sharp. To the point where, at a certain point, he just closed his door and did not see his chassidim for 19 years.
Went upstairs.
That was it. He secluded himself. So he said something amazing. The pasuk says, Va'anshei kodesh tihyun li. People of holiness you should be for me. That's what God says to us in the Torah. So you know what the Kotzker said? That the Rabbono Shalom said to us, Malach Yashares, angels, I have plenty. I'm not looking for more angels, people who don't live in this world. Anshei kodesh tihyun li. I'm looking for holy people. I don't want people without a guf. People without a guf, Malachim, there are, you read in the Yomim Noraim Davening, there are Ein Sof. Endless amount of angels. We don't need any more angels. We need people who can bring godliness into the world. So that's Aleph. That's the first point. The second point that the Chovas HaLevavos directs us to, which we mentioned last time, but we should amplify it, is Ha'echad Nireh V'Hasheni Einu Nireh. That one of these realms is seen, is nireh. I'm on the second line in the bracket. Vahasheni, and the second world, the second realm, the second dimension, the neshama, is eino nireh, is not seen. And this is a big challenge because we live in a world which is defined by what is visible. What we see is what we think is real. And this is one of the great gifts. I'm not an expert in this inyan. I read maybe one and a half books. It's not so much my style. But I think that the Harry Potter chevra are onto something. They are. There's something that is a tremendous gift that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave to the world through this J.K. Rowling shaliach, this emissary of godliness, in the whole world of Harry Potter. Because what is the Yesod, as far as I can, I'm not from the Gaonim of Harry Potter, but the small amount that I understand from Harry Potter is what? Is that there's more than you think. That is the baseline assumption of Harry Potter. You think you see this random kid with a scar on his head? He's actually a wizard. You think that you see everything that exists in the world, but you don't see everything. Hogwarts, I don't know if there's some, I'm not a bucky enough, but is there a place in the world that's called Hogwarts? Or it's, no, it's just in another dimension, I think. Am I correct?
Yes,
it's just in another dimension. So when we open Sefer Bereishis, and it says that the Rabbeinu Shlomo planted Gan Eden, he planted a Gan with an Eden, and the Tosfos talks about, well, it's in the West, and we look for this world, Gan Eden, we don't really see it. We have a hard time grasping what that means. So, we don't have a hard time grasping Hogwarts. We know exactly what that is, what it looks like, even though you can't see it with your regular eyes. Because it's on a different plane, it's a different dimension. That introduction of a world that is unseen, that transcends the physical world that's in front of our eyes, that's exactly the world of the neshamas. And that's an incredible gift because now people realize, or at least we can imagine, we can grab onto the concept that there's something more than it looks like in front of you. That's the world of the nireh ve'eino nireh. It's a spiritual world. It's a whole other dimension that exists inside of us. And so now, go to the end of the second line, va'anachnu, and we are chayovin, we are obligated, lavod oso, Ba'avur ze avoda gudluya va'avoda tzfuna. In light of these realizations, we are obligated, we are called upon, we have this great and awesome responsibility and opportunity to serve Hashem with avoda gudluya, with a revealed avoda of this world that we see, va'avoda tzfuna, tzafun, hidden, like tzafun barak, like you hide the afikoman. So what do those mean? Hagluya, the revealed world, Chovas Ho'evarim, Those are the obligations of the limbs. Kamo, hatfila, like davening, vahatzom, and fasting, and doing all of the actions that we can put our finger on. That's easy. You can measure that. Which it goes back again to the challenge of the Eino Nira, of the spiritual world. Because today, especially in the business world and in society, everybody is interested in metrics. How do you measure success? Well, metrics comes from something which is measurable, that has dimensions, that has statistics. So that's something which is really good for the Chovas Ha'Evarim, meaning in the world of the Evarim, everything has metrics, and you can measure whether it was successful or not. How tall is your lulav? At a certain point, it doesn't meet the height requirement. It's a metric, so it's easy to measure today that was not. You get a lulav that's this tall. That's not a successful chovas oivarim. That's not a mitzvah because it's not the requisite size. You have a mikvah. A mikvah has to be a certain size. Has to be a certain amount of water. If it doesn't have the requisite amount of water, a 40 saw, so it's not a mikvah. It just doesn't measure up. So that's easier for us to grasp. It's easier for us to measure. You know, today we drive, tomorrow we don't drive. It's much easier to measure that. Those are chovas ha'ivarim. Acha avoda, fourth line in the paragraph, hatzufuna, the hidden work, hi chovas ha'lovavos. Those are the obligations of the heart, which is why Rabbi Nachman called his work Chovas HaLevavos, obligations of the heart. Vehu, and this is Sheniyached HaElokim Belibo Seinu, that we should unify, that we should identify and make singular God in our hearts. V'Shena'amin Bo, that we should believe in him, ubetorah so, and in his Torah, v'shenekabel avodaso, that we should accept his rule, his work, v'nira oso, v'nichnami panav, and we should have submission and awe in front of him, v'hadom lezen, similar to this, mashi yigomer b'machsheves halev, what a person should fix in the thoughts of their heart, umatzpuno, and in their conscience, mibali evari haguf hanir mimenu, totally irrespective of the evarim in the guf that are visible. So where does this lie? This lies in our mind, it lies in our heart, in our consciousness, in our thoughts. It's a totally different dimension and avenue of connecting to Hashem. It's not something that is measurable. It doesn't have metrics. And it's difficult. The question sometimes is, how much focus do we put on this? And when we do focus on it, do we really embrace it? How much do we believe? Do we really believe? How much of these principles rings true with us? Took out from the library recently. I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing. A book written by a woman who, she grew up in Massachusetts, she lives in Massachusetts, and she left the world of observant Judaism. And she catalogs her journey of leaving Orthodox Judaism. And of course, it's very sad to see someone who had such a negative experience with Yadus. And I have great sympathy for somebody who struggles. And it's an interesting light to reflect on ourselves, because she doesn't believe. And Nechama was reading this book, and I said that I have tremendous respect for this woman. Why do I have tremendous respect for her? Because I said she has a lot of courage. Because there are a lot of people who don't believe, but they go through the motions because they don't have the courage to leave their community and to leave the life that. So they just fake it. They just fake it their whole lives. Rahman al-Islam. And this woman has tremendous courage because she doesn't believe. And if she doesn't believe, then. So why is she going through all the charade? So she picks up and leaves. And there is something to admire for that. That kind of truthfulness. But for us, who do believe and who do have this tradition, and it does resonate with us, we need to challenge ourselves. How much do we invest in thinking about these aspects of the relationship that we have with God, the avoda of emuna, of yira, of hachna'a, all of these descriptions, how real are they to us? How seriously do we take them? And to the extent that we don't take them seriously, we have to ask ourselves why. What is it that is impeding us from developing this aspect of ourselves? So one element is, it's easy to avoid it because it's not visible. It's not something you're going to measure. But at the same time, it's something that needs a lot of work. It's not the kind of thing, emuna or hakna or yira, all of these descriptions are not the kind of thing that are either yes or no. They're not binary. Either a person has emuna or doesn't have emuna. It's a continuum. It's a journey. So at one point in my life, I'm in a certain place in emuna, and then my emuna develops and it grows. It becomes more sophisticated. It becomes more profound, like any relationship, like any healthy, growing relationship. So says the Chovas HaLevavos, and this is what Rav Volbi is putting out here for the beginning, because this is, of course, the greater focus of what we're trying to accomplish in this weekly session, is putting a greater emphasis on the meaning and on the significance of not just the Chovas HaYevarim, but the Chovas HaGuf. And how to orient ourselves to live, on the one hand, in a physical world, but also to live in a spiritual world. To live in that Einu Nireh dimension that Rabbeinu Bacha is putting out for us. The Gemara has an expression. Ein adam chote elam ke nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person doesn't make an error, doesn't make a mistake, unless some kind of spirit of foolishness entered them. So what does that Gemara mean? It means that if we were really honed in on our spiritual values, on that inside avoda, that would keep us totally focused on always making the right choices. And the wrong choices stem from a distraction, from not being focused on our core values. And when we think about that in our own lives, we realize how true it is. When we lose it with that person, when we scream at our kid, when we get frustrated with our neighbor, all those things, when we replay it in our mind afterwards, we lost it because we got distracted from what our real values are, and we got overwhelmed by anger, frustration, disappointment, selfishness, whatever those things are. But we didn't keep in the forefront of our mind, at least I shouldn't speak for anybody else, I didn't keep in the forefront of my mind, well, what is Hashem experiencing with me in this moment? And how do I take this moment from a Chovas HaLevavos standpoint? So then that would totally reframe the experience in terms of going back to why I'm here and being patient and understanding where that person is coming from, and maybe just writing them off as a nutcase because that's the best strategy. But it comes from a place where I'm not focused on anger or frustration or exasperation, but it's coming from a place of, okay, where is Hashem in this picture? The emuna of living with Hashem in every moment, that helps us keep us on the path. And those two realms of the Chovas HaEvarim and the Chovas HaAneshama, or what he calls the Chovas, what did he call it? Chovas HaLevavos, excuse me. The Chovas HaEvarim and the Chovas HaLevavos, now we understand how not only do the Guf and the Neshama need to work together, these two need to work together just like the Guf and the Neshama. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave us Chovas HaLevavos, the mitzvos, their tradition is there are six constant mitzvos of constantly, you can always think about how God is part of your life, God is one, and there is no other God, and that we love God and try to get to know Him and pursue having awe of God. If we only had mitzvos that were chovas halavavos, they would be ethereal. It would be very difficult to live a spiritual life because you would just be told, just be aware of God. Well, it's difficult to be aware of God when I'm trying to figure out which cereal is the best to choose from, because there's the which one is on sale, and then it's not so Shabbos cereal, healthy cereal, not cereal. Life is very complicated. So we need, therefore, Hashem gave us not just the guf, but he gave us mitzvahs of the guf. So before we drink our coffee, he says to us, you can make a bracha. That's a chovas ho'ivarim. That's a practical thing that you do. So that's a tiny little reminder of godliness. And in the end, we need both. The more mitzvahs we do, the more reminders we have about godliness, so it enables us to have an easier time focusing on the chovas halavavos. And the more we develop the chovas halavavos, our spiritual side, the more meaningful our mitzvahs are. A person can go through life, check the million mitzvah boxes, but they are soulless. They're dry. They have no meaning. So they're not being nourished by the chovas halavavos. And at the same time, a person can pursue chovas halavavos, but without fulfilling the actual technical obligations, be wanting. So the same way that we need a neshama and a guf, we need chovas halavavos and chovas ho'ivorim. So our goal, as we're going through our life and our week, is to earn our keep, so to speak, not to be nama de kisufa, to earn the reward that Hashem wants to give us, the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that light. And we're going to do that both by pursuing the chovas halavavos, refining our spiritual dimension, that's parallel to the physical dimension, refining ourselves, and also making sure that we fulfill all of the standard chovas ha'ivarim. And by doing those, we develop ourselves, grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and earn that place of closeness to God. I hope you have a terrific week. Thank you for coming. Avarim are limbs. Avarim are limbs. So it's the heart and the limbs.